But I want you to understand the why.
Nice.
Why I love what I do. Why I love the Bankosaurus.
Right. That's awesome.
And why the label whole life insurance is really a bad word. Mm. It's a horrible label. Mm. Because when you see the Bankosaurus, I think Bankosaurus is a way better name. Mm-hmm. Or piggy bank on steroids. Yeah. And so when I'm breaking it down and I'm showing her an illustration of design and how I do it and why and asking the different questions, it's like, hey, would you rather have more access to your money today? Mm-hmm. Would you rather wait till you're 60? Well, crap. If you're in your early 30s, wouldn't you rather have that money access to it today?
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy B, here with me for the show.
What's up, Ken?
Enjoying my Thursday.
And you're moving.
Yes, I am moving. And me who hates moving, moving my from the second floor, and now I'm taking down the whole first floor of part of our building.
And taking over.
Taking over. Well,
I love it.
Yeah, so it's great. I've been on the telephone or charter, the cable or internet company. I've been on their butt for like a year because they just put this huge slack loop off my cool view of the museum and one of the restaurants across the street. Finally, it's amazing. I don't know if it's because of me complaining every time, but they moved it. It all looks clean. So I got this great view now. And I won't have it because I'm leaving my honeycomb hideout upstairs.
Bummer.
On the second floor, go down first floor. But it's better for everyone in regards to, it'll be better for my new awesome assistant who just started.
Woohoo.
And so, boy, is she great at getting things done.
Nice.
And so that's great. So she's going to, a great mentor to me says, Ken, you have two jobs. And so I explained to her my two jobs. And one of those is being with, my ideal client, just working and helping my ideal client. And I told her job is to do everything else. And she'll sign me up.
Nice.
So she's been doing great. So it's good. So
happy for you.
Me, who's Captain Frugal, is not happy that all my old furniture was too big for the second floor I had to get rid of.
Oh.
And now it's not appropriate for the new floor. So now I'm buying all new furniture. It's like, oh, just shoot me now. It just makes me sick to my stomach spending the money on it.
Yeah, I understand.
But I want something nice. So today's topic. So any other questions on my move, Miss keep me off the beach?
I know. It's so bad that I did that. I'm sorry. As soon as it came out, I was like, oh, shoot me.
Here we go. Well, what's fun is I just crave. One thing as much as I work virtually with clients all across the U.S., it's great. I still, in this COVID thing, it's great. The protests/riots have solved COVID-19. So
isn't it amazing?
It killed the virus. And I guess we don't have to social distance anymore. It's all over with. It's great. And I will have a little rant about that in a second.
Because
it'll tie to today's topic. And today's topic is labels.
Ah, okay.
And you asked a question last week. And I don't know, I was a little angry last week. So sorry to all the listeners if it wasn't one of my better shows. But it's hard to be creative and have this imagination and have fun when we're just being inundated with just one catastrophic thing. What brilliance, Tammy, of not watching the news. It gets a little overwhelming after a while. And boy, am I tired of the majority of these news outlets because boy, do they feed off of it. Boy, do they feed off this feed, this fear and greed.
Yeah, for sure.
But I've been craving, I just got myself off the beach again. But, for me, I just want to create this great fun environment with the locations. And I'm so excited about the beginning and the end of mine. I'm going to have this great fun. I like seeing people in person. That's my preference.
I know.
And my second is, and Zoom has been great for years. I've been using it for years. It's great that I can be working with clients in different states, and it's the closest thing to being face to face.
Right.
And so thank God for all this technology. Thank you all the tech companies that have done this, because it's just such a powerful tool to be able to show different designs, show virtual things, and but then also be able to see each other over the cameras back and forth. And I just think it really helps people take the next step and move forward. What I'm also excited about, though, even though I do a lot of stuff virtually, is I still like being face-to-face and tangible. And downstairs, now that it's expanded a little bit, I had to get rid of my old whiteboard for my face-to-face meetings. And I was like, that's okay. I can just draw virtually on my Surface Pro. I have hated it over the last year. I really miss using my fancy whiteboard. So my assistant found this really cool opaque glass one. It's huge. It's 4x6.
Oh.
And now, not only will I have the TV, I'll have the cameras, have the virtual screens too, but in one of the rooms in the conference, small conference room, it's not the big conference room we have in one of the other rooms, but for like meetings of six and under, because a lot of the wills and trusts I do, I need witnesses. So people come in and sometimes clients have other mentors that they want to run financial ideas by. So they'll bring their financial mentor or mom or dad or CPA or something with them. So it's enough for six people is great, right? So usually you got, the spouses together and plus there's some room for the kids. Sometimes the families will bring their kids. So I can't wait when I have finally some Bankosauruses to hang out to the kids and Joey T-Rexes. So the kids will play with it. It's coming. Slowly but surely, it's all coming. Absolutely. But I'm so glad I'll have my whiteboard back. Because I absolutely love, I'm a horrible artist, but I do really good stick figures and happy faces and unhappy faces. And so I can't wait to draw circles and arrows again for my clients. So it's great.
I'm so happy for you. That's
always
awesome.
Have fun with it too. It's like, you know, it's great. I get all the engineering degrees so I can draw happy faces and stick figures and arrows to teach finance.
Yeah,
but I love fun. It. Anyway, that's the big move. Today's topic is labels, and I'll ask you a few questions, but you asked me something. I can't remember exactly how it went, but how do I discern truth and break things down when I'm reading articles, when I'm studying stuff and I'm going through things? And it's like the huge argument I used to have, and there is a place for, I've never really dove into the weeds talking about Index Universal Life, IUL. I'm a huge fan of whole life insurance. For the most part, I'm not a fan of IUL. There are some situations and carriers that are phenomenal on the retirement side. And so it can be, I think there's a little sliver where it's a very, very powerful product. But for the most part, it's kind of like when I always ask, it's like, you can show all these pretty presentations. Mm-hmm. But I always look for is, okay, what are the exit strategy? Where can things go sideways? And it's the same thing with reading articles and looking at the stock market. And when you see how people phrase things, so when I've gone to a lot of these network meetings in the past, and they're just showing how great the stock market is and how it's averaged 8 to 10% over its life, right?
Yep.
So when you see that data presented with just that one piece, boy, that's really exciting. Hey, 10% returns in the stock market, that's what it's done historically. Sign me up. And you see future value calculators and you see it's going to double at 10%, right? The rule of 72, right? 72 divided by the interest rate. So it's like, wow, your money's going to double every 7 years. And it's like, wow, sign me up.
Right.
But then it's like, you got to step back and say, well, how come that's the only thing being addressed? There's got to be more to it, right?
Yeah.
Then you say, well, show me a graph of the stock market since inception. And then you see these little funny things like, it's like, wow, it's not this nice linear line going up.
Right.
It seems to really jump. It seems to take a long time to go up. And then when there's a correction or a crash, it doesn't seem to take much time for it all to turn to crap really quickly. Like, look at this year. Boy, did it fall, and it fell fast.
Yeah.
That's what it likes to do.
Right.
And then it has this painfully slow rebound. And then it likes to crash. And so overall, if you take point to point, sure, it's an argument that the stock market is great. And for a long-term strategy, it can be a really good part of the puzzle.
Right.
Makes sense?
Absolutely.
But there's a lot more. You got to ask the right questions. And we were talking about this last week. It's all about the questions. And understanding, you got to ask the questions, because a lot of these people, there's majority are salespeople, they're not going to point out the cons.
Hmm.
Me, I might overwhelm some people, but I want to show the cons. I want to show the pros.
Right.
Here are the pros, here are the cons. Here's the assumptions going into this stuff. You know, with whole life insurance, IUL, term insurance, et cetera, all these things, you know, some have more assumptions than others. And then you, at some point in time, you got to take a calculated risk. But it's all about asking the right questions and looking at things from different angles and understanding how people use words. For example, I would like, so labels, labels. And boy, a whole bunch have been thrown out in the last month or so, right? Mm-hmm. This labeling people and putting them in a I hate the word liberal. I hate the word conservative.
Yes.
I hate the label Democratic Party. I hate the label Republican Party. I hate all of it. They're just labels. Yep. And it's so divisive.
Yeah.
And I feel that these labels are used in a way for pure manipulation.
Yeah.
And to get us to think in a certain direction.
Right.
And it's not just on a, from a political standpoint, but it's also, but apply it to our finances. You'll hear people go, oh, life insurance, my beloved Bankosaurus. I'm like educating my assistant on the why. Like, hey, this is how we do applications, but I want you to understand the why.
Nice.
Why I love what I do. Why I love the Bankosaurus.
Right. That's awesome.
And why the label whole life insurance is really a bad word. Mm. It's a horrible label. Mm. Because when you see the Bankosaurus, I think Bankosaurus is a way better name. Mm-hmm. Piggy bank on steroids. Yeah. And so when I'm breaking it down and I'm showing her an illustration of design and how I do it and why, and asking the different questions. It's like, hey, would you rather have more access to your money today? Mm-hmm. Would you rather wait till you're 60? Well, crap. If you're in your early 30s, would you rather have that money access to it today? But when you start asking the right questions and we start understanding labels, piggy bank on steroids sounds way better than a whole life insurance, if that's what we're trying to do. Right. And creating a selfless gift to create income protection for your family, for heaven forbid something happened to you that you know the people you love are taken care of, right? Death benefit, that doesn't sound too fun.
Right.
But be able to create an indemnity product, to be able to create income protection for your spouse, for your kids that you love, that heaven forbid you lost your income, you could provide that income stream for the next 30 years just to make your family whole. Boy, that sounds way better than death benefit.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Income protection so that your kids aren't on the street. Mm. So they're not put in a position so that, I've watched businesses fail because the husband died or the wife died.
Right, right.
You know, the life partner died, someone died, and like it wasn't sustainable. So I had to sell the company so that they're around.
Yep.
Or the person, you know, working at the house, the significant other's making the income stream, that person dies and all of a sudden, they're used to a strong income stream of $100,000, $200,000 a year, raising the kids. All of a sudden, it went away.
Right, yeah.
And now what? Oh, and there is no income protection. There's no death benefit.
Right.
So labels are important. Like me, who doesn't like dealing with death, but obviously I've become more accustomed to it. But yeah, the word death benefit, you try to show that to me at 22? Oh yeah, buy this for death benefit? Dude, I'm not going to die. Don't tell me that. I don't want that crap in my head.
Right, of course.
It's all about the label.
Yeah.
But when you present it a different way and say, hey, how would you like to create a label, this infinite income for your family for just a what if?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's cool. I didn't hear the word debt. It's like workout. So it's just amazing the word label.
Yep.
How a label can so influence our decision making.
Absolutely.
So life insurance, really boring name.
Budget.
Workout. Yeah, dude, I don't want to go workout. Oh, gosh. Save. Budget. Yeah. Budget. Yeah, budget, save, go without, don't get any crap. Cheap, horrible word. So I like the word frugal better. Right? Yeah. It's all labels. And so left, right, liberal, conservative, protesting, riots, right? So it's very interesting how labels can redefine a narrative. And so last week, we're out of town, no cell service, and then come to find out, oh, City of Reno's on fire.
Yeah.
The peaceful protests, which for the most part is how they're described by the media, weren't so peaceful.
Right.
They probably started that way, but you get a few bad actors in there. And gosh, one of the buildings, one of the tenants here with me, $40,000 of window damage.
Oh no.
$40,000 of the damage to those windows. Wow. And then some of the buildings got burnt and I don't know how much destruction was created. But it's like, oh my gosh, man. But labels are pretty important. And then how all these words get thrown out. And it's just amazing how those labels can create, how they can influence us so much. And so that was kind of like my whole topic is that it's very divisive politically. It's very good at separating different communities and how all these words are thrown out, all these labels applied to people. And when the reality is that you really need to understand the context of everything, and you really need to drill down to an individual level, look at humans as humans, and not allow one label to define thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Make sense?
It does. So I'm going to question
you. Please question me, and I'm going to tie it to the financial industry like I was just originally, is like how labels can really influence how we think, and we got to be cognizant of it. Because I've watched people show stuff and use math to prove a scenario, and I flat out know they're wrong and lying. But because they framed it, I mean, it took me hours to unwind and like show my wife and other people, like what that person is showing is not true. But it's so influential in how they label or change the angle that you got to really think hard to break it down into a series of things to show that that's not accurate. So anyway, on everything. So what was your question?
Well, it's kind of along those lines, and it's interesting because this definitely connects to last week's podcast. But so how can we, I mean, this, like you said, labels affect everything from politics to the cause, the source of the riot, you know, really it can create good, but can also can create a lot of damage. So how do you recommend we don't just stop, like you said, at the label and dig a little bit, take it out of context or figure out the context behind the label. How would you recommend us do that so we don't get caught up in the labels and distracted by the labels so much? Well, I just feel like labels cause us to turn our brains off.
They do. They do. It's like, you know, hearing some of these ding-dongs. So I just use a label, right? Ding-dong, idiot, poorly informed. So I already use all those labels because people I disagree with, but it's because I question their intent and like marketing, right? Salesperson. Mm. Boy, you hear that word.
Yes.
Salesperson. What do you think of when you say salesman?
The commission breath that we were talking about earlier.
Oh gosh, I was talking about commission breath. Yeah. I was going on a rant because I just really like helping people and I don't want to charge an hourly fee for it. I can, just don't want to. But some people, it's a weird psychology to them. They think because you're not charging them that all of a sudden you're going to get them at the end. And I'm all, Tammy, do you smell commission breath on me? Cause I don't have commission breath. But that's a great label, isn't it? Commission breath. So anyway, but yeah, it was really interesting to me. Like one of the insurance companies, when I first got in the industry, you know, I was just selling auto and home insurance and they got these great commercials I think are funny. And they really do have a university, but they don't teach about insurance in Southern California. And anyway, I go on a tangent, but I thought I argued with the trainer immediately because he says, oh, people don't want to learn about auto and home insurance. And I said, that's not true. Everyone I've talked to except for one client, in the 10 years plus I've been in this industry, only one client I know is a good friend, says, can I trust you? Just do it. I don't care about what I need. I don't want to get educated on auto insurance. But everyone else really likes education. It's like, hey, I'm going to teach you how it works and more importantly, how it doesn't. And everyone's wanted to listen. And they want the education. I think people crave that knowledge. Now, the instructor was like, oh, no, just that's not what they want. They just want it done.
That's
like,
just
whatever.
His experience.
Maybe that's for, it's your experience and your ideal clients, but whatever, buddy. I want people empowered so they can make educated choice. And so there's a tie to that. It had to do with, salesman. What I thought was great though, is he put up a T chart and he wrote on the left, this is what the value I got of the whole 4 weeks, 4 days there. Cause they didn't teach anything about insurance, just sales crap, you know, emotion, human psychology, just stupid crap. When people lean in, you lean in too. When they lean back, you lean back too.
I hate that stuff.
Like mirroring crap. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh my goodness.
You know, and I could pivot to stuff with emotion. I'm like, is this for real? Like, by the way, car salesmen, they get, my understanding of seeing stuff in the past, they get some phenomenal things. Boy, can they sum up people real quick. And if they really want to go there. And almost all things are decided as much as it really, after it's all said and done, there is a lot of emotion behind it, right? I might use math. I might use all this stuff to break things down. But I use that so I can finally make a decision to move forward. And engineers, everyone. I don't care if you're a conceptual thinker, analytical thinker, there's still some form of emotion We got to feel good before we go forward. Don't we?
Or feel something.
If you feel something. If you feel bad about buying something, are you going to buy it?
But if you're feeling bad about something and to buy the thing would make you feel better about the thing, then I could see a negative emotion helping the sale.
Oh, okay. Oh, fair enough. So how do I break stuff down? So salesman, what I thought was great is he wrote salesman, and this was before the crash of the stock market, but he wrote salesman on one side and asked everyone, you know, it was like 30, 40 people in there. It's like, hey, what do you think salesman means? And they're like, snake. We've already done an episode talking about this, but it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like snake, sleazy, untrustworthy. What were some others? One thought I thought was funny. The guy always gets the hot girl. I thought that was kind of humorous, right? Because he's a great salesman.
Oh,
and a guy always gets the girl.
Right.
And then, so I was like, that was probably maybe the only complimentary thing, but everything was like snake, bad person. And then on the right-hand side, he wrote advisor, financial advisor. Mm. And it's like, oh, intelligent, you know, knowledgeable, sage, whatever. It was like all this positive stuff. Mm. And so it was really amazing. It's just on the label, and I learned a lot from it. It's just on that label,
mm-hmm.
that just defined who they're seeing.
Right.
So
from their perspective.
Right? Well, yeah, because it's a label. You hear salesman and you think of Ding Dong, you know, Needle Nose Ned. And, right? Yeah. Selling life insurance in Groundhog Day.
Yes.
And you think of, you know, I can't remember what the movie was, but it was like, gosh, he's so funny. So Robin Williams, I can't remember what movie it was, but it was a scene where he was trying to sell something at a funeral.
Oh.
And the lady's like, I'm sorry, but are you trying to sell me something at our funeral? Oh, no. And it's like, that's a salesman.
Yeah. Right? Clueless.
But, for, you know, advisors, like all knowing and intelligent. So anyway. That's a perfect example of a label, but how do you break things down? Why do you think it's questions? Sometimes I think it's great to be contrarian mm. and it doesn't make you a negative person, but just see things or ask things from a different angle.
Right.
It's like, oh, the stock market does this over all this time and goes up at 10%. Oh, okay. How could that go sideways? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. that's the positive. What's the negative?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What can cause those situations? Once I see a certain adjective thrown in, you know, if I see certain words thrown into an article, which I thought was like I was reading about a comedian, Dave Chappelle, which I think, you know, he hits my funny button. Yeah. I think he's funny. Yeah. My wife loves him. And so we're watching one of his most recent stand-ups on, I can't remember which, Netflix did it. And someone didn't like his skit. So they wrote in it, they're writing about the show, which I didn't watch yet. And after reading the article, I couldn't wait to watch the show. And it was saying how then they described him as alt-right. I'm all, alt-right? Are you kidding me?
Interesting.
You're going to describe Chappelle as alt-right because he says something you disagree with? I wouldn't think he would get that kind of label, but okay. But that's like a perfect example. Yeah. All of a sudden, they're telling a story, but then they throw a label in there. So all of a sudden, that to me, that just devalidated what they had to say.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. So it's like article done. I don't trust. There's an agenda here. I don't believe it. If people are just like when they're showing designs or illustration, they're focusing just on some graph and not other components, mm-hmm. Then it's like, okay, well now it's time to dive in the details. What are the exit strategies? How can things go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously these illustrations that are put together by companies are trying to sell something. That's why they create these fancy illustrations. I would say like when it comes to prospectuses, those things are 40, 50 pages thick.
Right.
For investing in the market.
Right.
And they show all these pretty beautiful graphs on how it just goes up and up and up. Well, the key thing to look for is go to all the asterisks. Go to the first asterisk, go to the asterisk with two asterisks, and go to the triple asterisks that on different timelines that explain what they just did. And as another way to explain is like the best way to read contracts is go to the end first, go to the addendums, go to the endorsements, because you can read through something that's 50 pages long and there could be one sentence at the back, an amendment that just supersedes everything you just read.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So a great way to read a prospectus that's showing you bright, shiny objects, nice, beautiful graphs going up, labeling Wall Street as the end all. Oh, here's another label, 401ks, IRAs. How did they label those? They label them as savings plans, which is interesting because the way I define savings is something liquid and tangible that you can access within a couple weeks. A retirement savings plan, an IRA, qualified savings plans, I would really label those as investments because you really can't touch it till you're 60. And at 22, when I'm brainwashed to go into that, I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, my gut was like, I can't touch that money till I'm dead at 60.
Right.
What good is it? What good is it? But, you know, the label of a financial advisor who was a successful realtor that respected said this is a good thing. And since he was an advisor for a big broker dealer, which sucks, you know, they said to go do it.
Yeah.
So I did it because an advisor who, in theory, because I thought advisors knew so much, right? Told me to go do it.
Yeah.
So I think it's the best way I discern things is just try to flip it a little bit. If they're saying it's so great, well, how can it go wrong?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You know, if we're supposed to, I mean, they say buy and hold forever. Well, what if I don't want to buy and hold? Because so sometimes the best way to say yes, just say no.
Mm.
Like how do you, like how, why, what, does that make sense? I know I'm all over the place.
No, but, you're not. I think you're doing great.
The label. Yeah. Labels. And so I guess that's probably how I would break things down. Is I learn when I'm reading articles, I look for certain words or I'm actually very open to what I'm reading. But once I see a word pop out, like alt right or alt left.
Right.
Well, that just devalidated everything in my opinion.
Yeah.
Where they throw certain things in there to label someone and put them in a corner.
Right.
But I that's it's, but it's very, very divisive in my opinion. When you break things down from an individual level and try to lump everyone into a group, I think that's really dangerous.
I agree.
And I think it's insincere. And I just was like, okay, who's pulling all these strings?
Right.
And when you look at the financial industry, when you keep seeing the media constantly that promotes the stock market all the time. When they talk about IRAs, like all being in the market, that's not the only thing IRAs in the stock market. IRAs can be used anyway, but you can use them for a whole bunch of different investments, not in the stock market. But the way the narrative works on TV is you hear IRA, you associate it with stock market. You hear 401k, you associate with the stock market. You know, it's just, it's amazing how they connect everything with labels. I hope that helps in the fact that like when I break things down, I just like go into the asterisks first. I like asking questions. I remember the huge speaker that was a big producer, this company that has a big whale on it. I'm listening to him speak. And then I went to ask him like, and all these people did is sell IUL. And so I remember asking, I was like, I have a question about here and here on with this particular company's contract. And so could he, I said, I'm brand new at this. This was like 6 years ago. And I guess I was labeling myself as saying brand new. I really feel like I know nothing about this. And so maybe I was soft playing a little bit because I think I knew a lot more than most in that room. But there's like sitting the top advisors, you know, producers in this room in Vegas. And it was really brilliant what he did. Talk about pivoting. I don't know if this is labeling, but I asked myself, can you explain this piece and this piece? For the specific company. Anyway, he couldn't, what he did is instead of answering my question, he pivoted and asked everyone in the audience to answer my question.
Slick.
It's pretty smart.
Yeah.
But I would say the best way when it comes to labels is like, labels are very, powerful. Marketing is very powerful. When you listen in the media, to me, it's just one big slanderous marketing arm for everything now. Right. For the most part. And not all of them, but it's just when they it's always this question in one direction, depending on who you turn to.
Right.
And so that just frames the context for everything and the labels that are used. And it's the same thing with the financial industry savings versus investments. You hear savings, people think boredom in many ways. You hear investments and people, that's exciting. But some people, they hear investments, it's scary. They don't want to lose.
Right.
And so those labels can create such a strong emotional response right off the bat and then shut that person down to all the other pieces. What's more important is just breaking down. It's like, hey, what are the benefits of this product? What are the negatives of this product? And they all have benefits and they all have negatives. Now, I've been told in the past certain ways I present and certain things. It might sound weird, but I always show the pros and cons
right.
on everything.
Right.
And I think that's just the way I just think by knowing. Now, sometimes that overwhelms people. Some people just don't want too much choice and they don't want to own the answer. But for me, I love the education. I love providing it. And I don't like labels other than obviously we need some type of words for vocabulary. But I keep trying to create impressive vocabulary. But we have a lot of words in the English language. And I don't think a few should use to be defined thousands and thousands of words.
Right.
And that's my point with labels. And when you look at the financial industry, you look at savings, you look at investments, and you look at all these different products, I think that it's amazing when you look at a prospectus for the stock market, you'll have 50 pages, 49 of them showing why it all goes up.
Mm.
But yep. there'll be a few sentences that say, hey, we promise you nothing. You could lose everything.
Right.
So that's how you can, I would say, break things down on a contract or labels, understand their terms. A lot of these insurance contracts, auto insurance, home insurance, at the beginning, they have all those vocabulary explaining what those words mean. They have their words and they explain it, understand it, and then go look at addendums, go look at things that can modify a contract. I think is a good way to do stuff. Break things down with certain questions. If you're being shown how good everything is and you don't hear one bad thing, you should probably ask some questions on how things can go bad.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I love it when some of these media people, what I call them financial entertainers, will talk about how life insurance is a bad investment.
Mm.
Well, why are you labeling it as an investment as opposed to maybe a saving strategy? Or why don't you label it something else as something synergistic to a entire financial strategy? Why would they just immediately with one or two words put something in a corner like that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's an agenda, right? And labels are powerful. You know, right or wrong, if you watch, I don't want to go into politics, but you watch certain leaders, they'll use a label and boy, is it right. politically effective. Yeah. They'll destroy a yeah. candidate. Right. It's pretty amazing. But anyway, that's labels, 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 labels. That was kind of my thought for today. I'm going to have a whole series, I think, coming out a week or two, where I'm going to take people on a path on different topics. But this has been a real trying yeah. year for, I think, a lot of people. It has been for me. And I got to just really focus on, I mean, this COVID thing, the protesting, the riots. I mean, it's like, gosh, man. The stock market, I mean, all of it is like, will this right. ever right. end? Please. But what I can do is all I can do is, and it will, I get positive that way. And you have to being an entrepreneur and running your own company, but you have to pivot and look at the positive. And boy, do I like labels and terms like happiness and joy and financial freedom and financial independence. All those terms and labels for me have great meaning. And human life value, economic life value.
Yeah.
Those are fun yeah. terms and labels. But when people just try to use one word to break a whole complexity of things, if that's even the right way to say it, you know, there's a whole series of things, a whole bunch of pieces, and just use one label to identify it, I think is very dangerous and disingenuous.
I agree.
Anything else to wrap it up, Tammy?
Something that if you're struggling with this and if you agree with what Ken is saying, I love his ideas about how to break it down and check the source. If they can't answer questions, if they can't break it past the label, if they can't explain even why they came up with the label, then that it's an indicator you might not want to use them as an advisor. And it's something that I know about Ken for as long as I've known him and as much as I've studied him, he loves teaching. He loves explaining. He loves helping people get the information they need so that they can understand. I mean, just think about what he said about the whiteboard and drawing figures. So that's how he explains and how he helps you understand. So if there's something that you don't understand, feel free to ask him and make him get on a little Zoom call with you so you can see him drawing on his whiteboard and you just test me out, prove what I'm saying to you, that he's really good at helping you understand.
Yeah, well, thank you, Tammy. That's our topic today. I hope that's been helpful. I just think it's really important to pull back and see why people are using certain words that they use for everything. And then and a fun way is to apply it to your finances. And it really helps you see things with a clear eye and or clear eyes, better vision, right? Removes the mm-hmm. The gook.
Yeah.
So, what? So anyway, that's it. All right. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, everyone. I love doing the show, and I hope to and strive to create some really valuable content for everyone for the remainder of this year. And if anyone has questions, just even for a few minutes, I really love learning and I love helping. I love teaching. It's so much fun coming to the office and doing the show and helping out clients. So thank you and look forward to the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.